So the big problem facing New Hampshire's prisons is staffing, especially correctional officers. Already, the state is spending about $10 million a year on overtime costs because there just aren't enough correctional officers to cover all the shifts. Baby boomers are retiring, unemployment is low, and it just turns out young people don't want prison jobs anymore, at least not when the starting salary is about $35,000. Add to that the opening of a bigger, brand new women's prison, and you've got a problem. The Department of Corrections requested funding for 75 new positions to open the women's prison. Jeff Lyons is that department's public information officer, and he and I talked on the phone.
Out of the 75, the Senate... Well, they unfunded 20 of the ones we requested.
The Senate also delayed funding of most of the remaining hires to the second year of the two-year budget, which Lyons told me has consequences.
The easy part is that the women's prison is on target to be completed by the end of September 1st of October, which is what we've been planning all along, and we're coming in under budget. But we know that given the time frame we have in which to hire staff into the positions that we end up having available to us, it's going to take longer to get the prison up and running.
A few things to note here. Lawmakers okayed construction on the new women's prison 4 years ago. That came after several court orders requiring a new facility for women inmates. Now, without enough staff, the prison will stand finished but empty. Lyons says he doesn't know when it'll open. At best, it would open partially the year after next. But it may be that lawmakers are being realistic when it comes to unfunding some of these new positions. Already, the Department of Corrections has over 100 funded but vacant staff positions. They just can't find qualified people to fill them. Lyons says the department is looking to contract a firm to help with recruiting. But until union negotiations result in higher salaries, little may change.
Thanks, Emily. And I'm Paige Sutherland, taking a look at how the budget deals with the opioid crisis. So substance abuse services were a priority in all three spending plans. The governor doubled the state's so-called alcohol fund, earmarked for substance abuse prevention and treatment, and the House and Senate followed suit, so it looks like that increase in funding will happen. That means a total of $14 million over the next 2 years will go into that fund. I talked with Kate Fry, who works with the nonprofit New Futures, which focuses on substance abuse issues in the state.
The beauty of the alcohol fund is that it's non-restricted funds, and so it can go towards opportunities that federal funding might not be able to address, such as bricks and mortar. You know, a huge issue in the state is recovery housing. We could look at some creative opportunities with early intervention.
But in the Senate's version, the budget that's being debated right now, some of that money could get set aside for operations at the Sununu Youth Center. That's the state's only juvenile detention center in Manchester. Advocates say this is a raid of designated funds. There's also a proposal in the Senate's plan to build an inpatient drug treatment program for young people at that center. The mayor of Manchester, Ted Gatzes, likes the idea. He says it's a service the community is lacking.
Well, there is no program in the state for anybody under the age of 18, and I think that that's something that when we start talking about what do we do to try and prevent the opiate epidemic, we need to make sure we find something that we can do for the younger generation.
But there are still a lot of questions, like how many beds this center would provide, how it would be staffed, and when it would open. All three budget plans also include added money for the state's Granite Hammer program. That program is designed to take drug dealers off the streets. There's also money to fund new drug interdiction troopers to patrol the state's roadways. All of these things look to be a sure bet in the new budget.
Thanks, Paige. And I'm Todd Bookman with a look at infrastructure. Infrastructure, of course, being one of the only things Democrats and Republicans seem to agree upon these days. In Concord, during this budget cycle, that continues to hold mostly true. Lawmakers are backing a plan to spend approximately $37 million next fiscal year on roads and bridges. That's about double this year's spend. The money doesn't technically come through the next budget, but instead is being pulled from this year's budget surplus. Of that $37 million, the state is divvying $30 million up for local road projects, so construction and maintenance of smaller streets, not highways. And then the remaining $6.8 million is going toward red list bridges, those in most serious need of repair. State Senator Dan Feltes, a Democrat, is co-sponsoring the plan.
It's well needed and overdue. It's not going to necessarily put a dent in our needs across the state, but it's certainly a step in the right direction.
When Felta says it won't make a dent, he's referencing what the Department of Transportation says it needs to tackle bridge projects. DOT estimates it would cost an additional $21 million to begin reducing the watch list. That is a far cry from the $7 million it's likely to get for the next 12 months.